This year is brought to you by Eshel Publications. Eshel Publications is a non-profit organization dedicated to spreading the Torah, Shiurim, and Sefarim of Rabbi Aaron Lapiansky. For sponsorships or more information, visit eshelpublications.com.
Okay, so holding over here in the middle of Perek Yud Beis, where he is discussing the Beinoni, where he described the Beinoni as standing on the cusp, where when he's Shas Torah and Tefillah, he's Kulay Tov, and then it comes back again, and so on and so forth. That's basically what we saw. So now he's bothered by a problem. So what is it that, how is it that we, that the person does manage to be good all the time? We're talking about this Beinoni that has in himself a very, very nikadika taiva. You know, it's not it's there. And so when Shas Torah and Tefillah, it's wonderful. He's very, very good. Then afterwards, that goes away. So you're telling me that, but the Beinoni is someone that's always, always doing good. So what exactly is that? How does that work exactly? Rak. The reason why he doesn't ever befall do any ra is because there's someone else at home, the Yetzer Tov, the Chelek Elokai, and Yochel Leitzavasi Mikoch LaPoil Lislabish BeEvri Aguf BeMaisi Machshav Mamish LeHamik Machshavta BeTanugar LeMhaze. So he says he can't be moitzed the koyach the time of koyach lapol leslabish bevori aguf bemaisedim machshav mamish lehamik machshav tenugam hazech masav sliboy. So the first thing is he's saying something very important here. There's this line over here is kedarkoy the derech of the Balatanya is that you see it in halacha also in the Shulchan Aruch. There's one way in which you write things with kasha teretz, kasha teretz, kasha teretz, and that's one presentation. He writes things in a way where he's including the problem in the presentation without alluding to it. So sometimes his sentences seem to be extra long and convoluted. It's usually because he's including some sort of point to allay arguments I might have. This is one of them. He's saying like this. He's saying that this Beinoni is not allowing his chelek, Nefesh Bahami, to be mislabish be'eva guf ma'isdim machshava mamish. But you just said that he does have hira vera. This is somebody who every, you know, as soon as he's finished davening or learning, he the Yetzirah presents a case that what they ought to do. So what does that mean? There's no machshavas. So he defines what it means there's no machshavas. A person is not held responsible for the flashes of taiva that he has. A person goes by and sees something that arouses him, so he saw something that aroused him. There's no, so yes, if he'd be in a very, very, very high madrega, he never would go by there, never would see it. That's all good and fine. But in terms of the world of normal avoda, a person sees something that tastes good, and he gets a sense, wow, this really smells good, this tastes good. Those are not being malbish himself with any levushim of rav taiva, even though it's machshava. The machshava is when a person dwells on it. So a person walking by a food bar, and he something strikes him as being particularly good. That's That's a teva. Unless a person is on an extraordinary darg of tzaddik, that's going to be normal. The question is, does he sit and put his mind to it, or does he move on? How much is he? How much does he begin to follow up on it? The same thing as machshavas of arayas. The machshava that falls into a person's head, that's not in halacha what you're accountable for. The question is, do you follow it along because you find it pleasant to dwell on it? So he's defining over this phrase is defining back what. So he says, "Lislabish be'avor aguf be'maisdi b'machshav mamish lehamik machshav tatnugam hazach masaliu." So if a person gets into it and he starts dwelling on it, like how much he likes this and what it's like and who makes this good one, and any simas slave to it is means that he's put his machshava into it. That's one important point over here about what we mean the machshava when we're talking about machshava as a levush of a person. And then he explains a reason for it. So this phrase is a phrase that's a key to understanding to understanding the Baal HaTanya's and the Chabad's the Baal HaTanya's Chav of how a person's koyches are, and moich sholit aliba alalev is very, very important. I think the Lashon HaZoyah is that it's rochiv on the lev. So rochiv is sholit alev. So there's really two ways in which that's true, and let's understand the koyches and nefesh of a person. A person can be programmed, and most of the time is programmed, to do certain activities. Now, the automatic programming works in two ways. Whatever has been pleasurable to me before, I automatically reach for it. So if cake is something that I enjoy eating, I will, anytime I see a piece of cake, I'll reach out and take. Or just things that through habit we've gotten used to doing, we do it. We can be an autopilot. So a person's pain, pleasure senses, physical pain, pleasure sense, or the ones that are close to the surface. Person gives me a compliment. I like talking to the person who says nice things about me. Those are all, I allow my sense of pain and pleasure to guide me. And that means the immediate sense of pain and pleasure. If I know that Reuven always says nice things about me, I'll make sure that if I'm doing something, it'll be for Reuven, so that Reuven will say some nice things about me. That's the mahalach of Lev. Lev has the sense in the understanding of this context. Lev has the sense of pain and pleasure. Lev is the immediate feedback, and it is the default setting of what drives a person. So a person's normal drives will be called liba, and that motivates a person. It's very, very powerful. The vast majority of things we do are done like that. The moach has two ways in which it it overcomes it, and it's not, they're not equal in the sense of I enjoy latkes, I enjoy gemara, I enjoy ice cream, I enjoy saying tilim. That's not at all the way it works. That these are not two parts that like ice cream versus chocolate ice cream. That machloikas is a machloikas in two taste buds. That has nothing to do with this type of thing. This type of thing is like this. The one way is the moyach can flip the switch from Hanoah to a long to a different type of Tohelas. So the marshal, I have to study for a test. I don't know, for a math test. It's the last thing I enjoy doing. It's like three notches below root canal, studying for the math test. So my natural inclinations would push me to not study for it. But then I impose on Seichel, I say, listen, if you're going to fail the test, you're not going to be able to do X, Y, and Z. In the long run, it's going to be miserable. It's going to be wretched. You need to do it. So there's one override of Seichel and the Lev that it shall it. We force ourselves to do many things that there's no enjoyment. You know, there's no enjoyment now. Anything that's a future is a seicheldik thing. So, my initial thing. You'll be heavy. You'll be this or that. Whatever it is, you need to get up and to walk around and do whatever. Those are all seichel being able to override the lay. There's a second way in which seichel, if so, the marshal, for example, children like things with very simple flavors. A red lollipop is really a universal favorite for children because that's the simplest taste and color for a child to enjoy. As a person enters society and he understands that liking red lollipops makes you seem silly, stupid, whatever, and drinking a fancy wine makes you a chacham and a wise person and a cosmopolitan. So that becomes, you do, it shapes your taste until the point where you enjoy it. Because you know, whatever it is, you're shaping a certain sense of something. So the same way that when you're young, Marshall, you might like just hanging out and doing much. But as you develop a sense of a battle and a person who's not doing much, not amounting to much, not getting anywhere, you can affect the taste buds. I had a friend of mine, two friends of mine. One of them came from a well-to-do family, and you know had the you know he had a sense of a more refined lifestyle. The other one was a very big politician, but kind of off the street type of personality. And he used to get annoyed with this person's what he felt was snobbish, inclinations. So he told him, listen, every kid enjoys a red lollipop. When you get older, you may also begin to enjoy green lollipops, green candies, and that's fine. But Moyer Shalta Lev works in two ways. It works immediately as an override.
Sorry, Rebbe?
And it also shapes the long run. So, aware of what he's doing. What?
You actually froze for quite a while, right where your friend said that when you get older, you might enjoy a green lollipop. I think we didn't hear anything after that.
And we're waiting for the punchline.
All right, we don't know the punchline of the mashal.
I think we just lost the
road. Yeah, I guess the computer is solid on everything. That's the, whatever, but the computer is the taps. So the Meir Shalta Lev, so the person can always override it. So here we have this person who is a Beinoni. He has a part of himself that would like to be misanig from things that are crass, not even various and so on. And he's always consciously can change that. Now, the truth is, when you think about Musar also, it was very similar. Both ideas were that if a person is not focusing his mind on something to consciously change or effect some behavior, it's not going to happen automatically. And in other words, the common denominator of focused thinking versus reflex is a common denominator. So he says, "V'tolus v'tevitzirasa shekach noitza adam b'toladis shekol adam yachal b'tzoyne shebemoychoy lehisapek v'limshol beruach tavasa shebeliboy." A person can always overcome his rotzen. Shalom malis mishlas liba b'mayis sedibu machshava ola siach daiter legamri mitayves liba hefach gama. And a person can be mesiach his das from one to the other. He can consciously decide to think about something else. So this is something I just want to make a point over here. He says ubefrat al tzad kedusha. We'll talk about that in a minute. But he's implying over here that I can, if I have a thought of taiva enters my mind, I can think about my next business deal. There is no option of not thinking. And that's a mistake that people make. If a person has a hero of Avera, to not think of Avera doesn't go. You can't not think. And therefore, if a person wants to do something, he needs to get engaged or involved in something else. So a person who's kol etera, yeah. But if not, any other mental, emotional involvement in something that engages the person is the only thing. In other words, he has to, it's not that he's meiser daiter from the taiva, he's meisiach daiter alefra legami. That's a very important piece. There is no such thing as not thinking. People's thoughts. That's the metzias. A person needs to find something that engages him. Ubefrat al tzara kedusha, kirech sivre ichesis nochachma sichas kisa or nachoishich. Now, so this is true. Any type of engagement, any thoughts in tzara kedusha, there's a big mila. Why? The sivre ichesis nochachma sichas kisa or nachoishich. So the pasuk says in Kalas that he took a look and he saw that chachma is better than sichlus, as or is better than choshech. So he's looking for some sort of enlightening statement in that. I mean, when you say these things that, yeah, it's better, chachma is better than this, like or is better than choshech, as just a metaphor, It means very little, unless it's trying to say something. I mean, you can go on with this. It's better than other choshech. Yeah, say that. What is it saying? It has to teach something. So he's medayik it, and he learns something from this. So he describes over here that what is the meila of chachma over sichlus? He says keor over choshech. So he says two things. First of all, the oir does not need a lot of oir to be doicha choishech, a small amount of orkim be choishech as well. And the process, and maybe it's habahotali, I'm not sure, the process is, it's a memelitic process. So let's give an example. A person is trying to do a sales presentation. So darkoi of people who are trying to make a sale, that you get a long and flowery and graphic flourish of, presentation. How wonderful, how beautiful, how good. Basically, it's trying to feed the Olam HaDimyon of the person to get him on board. All you need to puncture it is not an equally dramatic presentation. The other side, if indeed the presentation is based by preying on fantasy and is counter logical, you just have to show him, well, let me just take the numbers you presented, this, don't it up. That's enough. You don't need an equally difficult argument. So if both sides are correct and it's just, there's no clear resolution, so you need an argument as strong and as long and so on. But if the person's argument is built by feeding on fantasy, and all you have to do is just shine a tiny bit of light, and then it dispels it. Light, choshech doesn't require much light to dispel it, and the reason is, like he says over here, because it's memela. It's not because they fight afterwards. It's not that Ur and choshech are fighting. So then you look for equal kohos. It's because it disintegrates. Something very, very, it's very similar to like by Yaakov and Esav, the Sarish Esav. So all night long was a big fight. But as soon as the morning came, the malach disappeared. It had to disappear. So b'meila, he says, if the world of kedusha, so if you mesiach das to something else, so it's not a p'chin of or to this choshech, it's something else. So fine, it works. But if a person is able to mesiach das to kedusha, the person himself understands that whole dimyon was dimyon. And that's what Chazal said, the only way you can do Avera is if there's a flurry of dimyon which covers up. I think I once told this over, there was somebody in yeshiva who got involved into something he should never have gotten involved, really bad. And in the end, he suffered a lot because of it. And he wrote to one of the Rebbeim yeshiva, I realize that love is blind. So the Rebbe wrote back to him, no, taiva is blind. When you have, there's no art, it's choshech. So if you don't use the brain, then you manufacture dimyon. So it explains why the achochma shebenef shaloike shebemoy asher ritzoyna limshol levado beir. So there's a difference in where the primary force lies. So both the nefesh ha-bahamis and the nefesh ha-loikis have a foothold in the moach and in the lave, but in very different ways. The lave, the headquarters of the nefesh ha-bahamis, and the nefesh ha-aloikis has a makom there, but the machshavos, so to speak, I'm sorry, this iris of the tzadara starts with lave. It then tends to warp the seichel, And that's why people who are biased or in the Gebedava, Balataiva, whatever, tend to come up with very krum rationalizations. That's the Mitzvahs. Or, on the other hand, so it has its headquarters in the heart, but it has a foothold in the mind. In other words, it can twist the mind to come up with its ikar, its headquarters is in the seichel, and it has a mokum at the heart as a toilada of the seichel. So the and this is, by the way, why he was so into that a person's Yiddishkeit, a person of Yiddish Hashem, start with seichel and come down to the heart from the seichel, as opposed to the other way. You can go both directions. You can be more a person through emotion, and then the person's mind follows along, and you know it follows suit. That's normal. Or it can start with hispaninus, and the heart comes along, emotions come along. His point, his big focus was that the person start with that it always start with seichel, and then allow the heart to come along. Because it means it's anchored in a very solid way, and so on. But the way he's explaining it now, it's because that exactly is the way it should be. That's the tsura of the way the thing is built. The headquarters of the chelak alakai is in seichel, and it's meant to infiltrate the heart. It's meant to consume the heart, but as a result of the das and so on. So his the shita is a lot more than just pragmatic, that this is good and so on and so forth, but rather that it's something that is it's something which is it's the natural way. This is the right surah. One more point. There's a lot. When we talk about the gilui of Akadosh Baruch Hu being megala, mizgala, lased lavo, whatever nyanim you talk about, it always sounds as if there's like two parts to it. There's the gilui of toiv, and then there's the vanquishing of ra, or the chamer, or whatever it is. This understanding is a lot subtler, and it's ketzom lechoshech means, since toiv is permanent and toiv is here to stay, so it's just a question of when toiv awakens. Ra melts away whenever there's toiv, and therefore a lot more important than knocking the ra is bolstering the toiv. And this was a lot of the shita of our chinuch, Litvish yeshivas, and he was also Litvish, just a chassidish Litvish, that if a person gets filled with deeper hagashas, finer hagashas, his mind, his mind becomes full of a world that's nobler and higher, Ibn Melu will change the person. Obviously, in every system, there's Mayas Chesreinus, but at least it's an understanding of why it's seen as being the appropriate Seder Advarim, that trying to develop the Toiv, hopefully, will automatically make the Ra disappear. Okay, we'll hold it over here.
Have a question?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Earlier, go ahead, Shlomo.
Okay, I just, earlier, they were saying there are two ways that the Moach is Sholeit and Olev,
right.
And the first one, maybe we could say it is sort of a Hefsed versus Hefseda versus Chara analysis.
Right.
What was the second one?
Second one is you shape the desires and so on. What for instance, if you take a kid and tell him to stand in a basketball court for 5-6 hours in a hot sun, shooting the ball again and again into the hoop. It's very hard to see that anybody would want to do that. It would be very painful and unpleasant, and you know, and so on. But if you keep hearing about how wonderful it is if you make the team, and this is like mamish, the most fantastic thing, so on and so forth, it develops a cheshik. So this is I'm now. You know, I'm inching forward towards becoming the champion or whatever it is. So anytime you can shape a person's ritzonos through a long process of his bainanus. Because people do like people, shape their ritzonos and they become different. And then like things that we do as an adult, we do because it's not only that we force ourselves to do things, we've shaped by again and again getting certain messages and understanding things, we shape our ritzonis.
Thank you.
Okay. I think you might have answered my question, but you said earlier, Shekol Adam Yochol B'Ritzonai Shebamaychai.
Yeah.
He's saying you're using ratzon there as a positive force.
Correct. So this is the logical ratzon. Ratzon means what you want. So Seich Hadas says, I want something that's real and makes sense and is emes and so on. That's the ratzon shebemoichai. Without ratzon, a computer accomplishes nothing. Computer, it's only when you flick it on, does it work. In other words, the brain is not just a dry organ of decision. It has a rutzen to decide and to want to do things as a badass.
Yes.
Okay, Beseder, good.
Yeah, thank you.
All right.